Right. So, Bible studies on Wednesdays, here on campus on Tuesdays, home group on Fridays. That's still happening? Okay. All right. Well, if you will open your apps or your Bible, whatever you have today, to, excuse me, to Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. I'm all about shameless plugs. So I use opportunities coming up to shamelessly plug Bible study to you. But here's the thing. God is really doing a work. So even if you can't attend on Wednesday nights, I know the faithful few, many of them are here in this room. Even if you can't attend, God's doing something in our church through these studies. I will tell you, definitely doing something in my life and in Assam's life through these studies. And so if you can't attend, they are online, the beauty of technology. You can watch them. And I only ask you to do that because God is doing a work in our church. And so it's important to be a part of it. Like I'll tell you, when we don't, a part of our family policy is if we don't attend church because we're out of town or something's going on, we make sure to watch the service. And some and I ask each other, did you watch the service on Sunday? Because God's doing something and we're a part of this church family, and so we want to be a part of that. So I encourage you that even if you can't join Zoom on Wednesday nights, that's okay, but just please take a moment, listen, go through it, and see what God's doing. So for a while we were doing the book of Ruth, now we're doing the book of Joshua. And I was not going to speak on this today, I promise you. But I felt like God kept telling me that this is what he wanted to share. And this morning, during worship, Amanda and Robin, did they get my PowerPoint? Like, what is happening? God has something to speak to us. And it was like a real confirmation. They kept saying things, words, you're going to hear it right out of this today, that God wants us to hear. So not to hyper-spiritualize it, but let's perk up our ears, because God has something for us in this passage, I believe. And so let's read it together. How about we stand? We'll wake us up a little bit, and we'll stand and read the Word of God. Okay, so in Joshua 5, 2, it says, "At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again.' So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibbeth Haraloth." I know I butchered that. "Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. And so all the people that came out had been circumcised, but the people born in the wilderness during the journey coming out of Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up sons in their place, and those were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' So the place here has been called Gilgal to this day." Amen. You can be seated. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you that you have a word for us here this morning. You have a word about reaching our hearts, about breaking down walls, Lord, about seeing that we're walking in the fullness that you have for us, Lord. So would you come this morning? Would you come with your power, with your might, with your strength, in the name of Jesus, and reach every heart here today? Amen. I know a lot of circumcision early on a Sunday morning. I don't know. Maybe not what you were expecting for church this morning, but it's in God's word, and so we're going to talk about it. Circumcision is referenced in God's word quite often. A lot in the Old Testament, several dozens of times in the Old Testament. But this particular circumcision kind of sheds light, or this ritual act in this moment in Joshua, sheds light on the representation of what that word means. And circumcision is simply this, is the purification of our hearts. It's a spiritual act far more than it was a physical act. Although in this, at this moment, it was being represented by a physical act, right? These people were actually circumcised. So it's important for us to kind of pay attention as to why this was a command that God had for his people. Now, the people of God had been in the wilderness for 40 years. We all know. They got out of Egypt. It was a big, huge thing. They got out of Egypt. God split the sea, destroyed the people, the Pharaoh as he and his army as they went after him. It was an amazing event. Now it was time for the people of Israel to get to the promised land. Do you know how long this should have taken them? Just days, actually, if they were slow. It's like taking 40 years to get from to walk from here to San Diego. I mean, you know, it's a long way, but not 40 years long. And the people of God were just so set in so much sin through this time that they couldn't get to the promised land. And God basically said, guess what? You're not going to see it. It's not going to happen. But a new generation came out of this. And here's where we are in Joshua. And at this point in the text, they had crossed over. Crossed over. And the first thing that God says to do, get circumcised. So that should really have us pay attention. Because the first thing after this victory is that God says, circumcise this generation that was here born in the desert, that was not taught the ways that I have for them. And make sure that it happens here today. And really what this is a circumcision of the heart. That's what we're talking about. And this has sort of been the theme of what we've been learning on Wednesday nights. And it's really been the thing that captures us to our core, because so much of these stories are not just stories. Yes, there's historical significance to all of them, and that's really important. But what's more important is how we apply them to our life. And the way we apply this to our life is that God is after your heart. The act of circumcision in this situation was merely an outward expression of an inward action. It was an outward expression of something that was happening on the inside, kind of like baptism, right? That's what baptism is. I mean, nothing like magical happens when you get baptized. It's a declaration of your faith, of what something that's already happened, that you've received Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. And based on that, the act of baptism is taking place. So it's an outward expression of an inward action. That's what circumcision was here. It was a declaration of their faith in God. It was a declaration of also this really incredible moment. 40 years is a long time. I mean, I really have trouble remembering truly what I ate yesterday. Really, I'm not even kidding. Like, if you asked me, I'd have to like really struggle and think about it. 40 years, can you imagine 40 years? Of course this was lost. Of course this beautiful ritual doesn't seem beautiful, but it was, like really when we think of it in a spiritual way, was lost. It was time for this generation to create this outward action. Now there are two stages of circumcision as we sort of see it. Number one, it's a representation of a covenant relationship between you and God. So this would kind of represent like your salvation moment. This is the moment you say, look, I am a sinner. I am completely lost in this sin. I receive what Jesus did on the cross for me as salvation to me, and I'm going to live based on that. That's sort of like the first kind of circumcision that we go through as believers. It is my declaration that I am living my life for Christ. And hopefully most of us in here have done that, but if you haven't, guess what? Today's the day. Here it is. God's talking to you specifically about it today, and he's speaking to you about it. So if you haven't done that, this is stage one. Now, stage two, and we've talked about this before so much in church, is sanctification. It's sort of the deeper work. It's sort of like really digging in. The knife is really going deep. We're talking about things that are part of our life that even as believers, we have like kind of learned to live with. Like, you know, we live with it long enough and it just sort of becomes what? Well, it is what it is. You know, I have a problem with lying. Or I have a problem with saying things I shouldn't see. Or I have a problem with gambling. I fill in the blank. Might be sin, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's I feel pain about something that's happened to me in the past. And I just don't want, it's too painful to go deep. It's too painful to dig in this area. Digging really deep is what this flint knife was about to do, guys, to the people of Israel. This was not a surface situation. This was a real deep wound. And a lot of times as believers, it's easier. Look, I'm speaking as a believer who tells you it's easier to just not do the digging. Like, it's too much. It's too hard. It's too embarrassing. It brings up too much pain. Whatever it is, you know, it was something that I don't want to tell anybody about, or I don't want to talk about, or I don't even want to bring before God. Or it's just something that's got me in a hold, and it's too hard to let go of. These are the things that God is after for us today. The walls that he's looking to break in us today. You know, circumcision, as it was discussed in the... See? Oh, wow, you're right. I know, you're right. That hasn't been my experience in the past, but today it is. Anyway, you know, the problem is that sometimes, like, God would give the people of Israel instruction about something, and they'd really take it and run with it, which is great, but sometimes it became like the mechanism of salvation versus, so when Jesus came and he was like, I am the way, the truth, and life, you cannot come to the Father except through me, they're like, oh yeah, and circumcision. And Paul was like, whoa, no, not and circumcision. He writes this. In Galatians 5, he says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the law of Moses. If you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But he who lives by the Spirit, eagerly waiting to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised for us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important, listen to this, he just told you, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Now there's a lot there. We can kind of go through this for like a really long time. But the basic idea was he was trying to get to Israel. Hey, you've missed it. This isn't just a physical act. This is a inward expression. So the whole circumcision thing back then was done so that you can be aware, so that you can be ready and in a place where you want to follow God and to be set apart. And we're going to talk about those things, the three things that sort of happen through circumcision. But the problem is that people were taking that and being like, oh, this is how I'm going to be right. Because we do that as humans. Because there's so much wrong with us. Look, if you're perfect and you're hanging out here, sorry. All right, it's just the way that it goes is that everybody I know, everybody, is imperfect. And that is because there's a sin nature that's deep inside of us, and we're constantly going to be working towards becoming a better version of ourselves. But really, we're not going to see that until on this side of heaven. We're just not. So there's this constant feeling that we have as humans, like we're trying to figure out what it is that's going to make us right. What is it? And this is what the people of Israel did. And it's just easier to do that. Isn't it easier, like, to do this thing that we have to do than to ask for the digging and sanctification? All it's just so much easier to do that. Because it's really hard for us to find value in ourselves apart from what we do. But God sees value in you and me without us ever doing anything. He sees value in us even if we do nothing. That's amazing. You, like, all the young people in the room don't get that, but parents get that, right? Your baby shows up and they're doing nothing but crying and pooping and peeing, and somehow you love them more than anything in the whole world. And that's us, like sinful us. God sees so much value in us. Okay. Children in the room, this is called cash. This is what we used to use. It's a currency. You basically give someone cash and they give you something in return. I know it's like really hard. Listen, I had to go to the bank to get this. All right? I like genuinely don't carry cash, and I know you don't either. And I'm still using my card, although I know most of you use your phones, but I'm working on it. This has a value of $100. And like I said, I have to go to the bank to get this, okay? So this has a value of $100. Okay. This is going to hurt. I'm so sorry to do this, everybody. Okay. I just crumbled this up pretty bad. It's a real $100 bill. Okay. Does this still have a value of $100? Okay, like this. Does it have a... Would you take this if I threw it? Yeah, you would take it. Nope, this is going back in the bank. God sees value in us no matter how imperfect we are, no matter how tattered we are. You know, actually, if I had a tear in this, I could still take it to the bank and they'd redeem it for me. They'd give me like a right bill, wouldn't they? Because there's value in this. And so although sometimes we don't see value in ourselves, God certainly does see value in us, even with imperfections, even with flaws. And that value doesn't go away in spite of the mistakes, and that's what we have to start off by. That has to be our baseline today as we talk. Because I don't want anyone here, just as Paul didn't want that either, that's what he was saying, to think that you might do something today that's going to make you better. Okay? There's nothing you can do. God loves you just because you are you. He died on the cross for you because of who you are. And so, although he does want us to do work and work on ourselves and work on who we are, that action of work doesn't bring more value to us. It just gets us to the place where we might be living in more fullness and in a closer relationship with him. And as we do that, it just makes you a better version of you. So that's our foundation. Do we get it? This $100 bill still has value no matter what. And you still have value in the eyes of God no matter what. But circumcision is an important part of what we do. The first thing it causes us to do is to submit. That's a flint knife, y'all. That's does not look great, right? But that's an actual artifact, what it looked like. This was not like, what is it, the Henkels or Cutco, you know, no, this wasn't like a sharp 1 second kind of thing. This was a real, like, painful moment that was going to happen. And it required these men, these grown men, to get to a place where they were ready to submit. To submit before God and to submit to who? To Joshua. I don't believe, Pastor Al, please correct me, I don't believe a circumcision happened in the Bible like someone did it to themselves. Nobody ever circumcised themselves. Usually someone came and that knife was theirs. That really tells us the first thing that we, when it comes to circumcising our heart or changing our heart or going deeper with the Lord, first you have to say, God, okay, here it is. It's ugly, but here it is. I give to you the authority to really work in my life. And guess what? I'm going to allow you to use somebody else to do that. I don't know if that person for you is someone maybe in the church, someone outside of the church that you're close to, maybe a therapist who's like someone of faith, whatever it might be, but it really, really is very hard to do this on your own. When there's something deep, when there's a deep source of pain in your life, it's really difficult to get to it on your own. And so I know this is a hard thing to say because we tend to want to be like, well, this is kind of my thing, and it's so personal, and that's okay that it's personal. That's that I'm with that. I'm not saying come up to the altar and, you know, although if you want to, you could do that. But there is a place for someone else to help you through this, because otherwise, you're not going to do it. No one's going to go circumcise themselves. It just wasn't going to happen. This was an issue that had to be brought to other people. I have certain people in my life that I like are my go-to people with this kind of stuff. And it's really, I'm lucky enough, I know not everybody has this, but I'm lucky enough that my husband's one of those people and kind of the primary person. And we have an understanding about these types of things. But there are also people outside of just us, right? People that are friends and people that are maybe professionals that we've gone to, where we're just like, here, take the knife because there's something deep inside that I need fixed. Because I want to be closer to God. Because I want to be reconciled with God. And that's the second thing that happens when your heart is circumcised. There's a reconciliation that happens between you and the Lord. When there's something that's just there, whether it's like living in sin, right, stage one, circumcision, or two, something really, really deep that needs to be worked on, it creates a wall between us and the Lord. And it's a wall that we create. Robin and Amanda kept saying wall today. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? There are walls here, I think, this morning that God wants to break in Jesus' name, that God wants to push through, because that act of submission, of saying, Lord, do what you will in my life. Here, it's yours to do what you will, breaks walls. This is, do anybody know what this is? The Berlin Wall. It was a wall that was built from a very long stretch of wall that was built in 1961, and it was up from 1961 until 1989. And during the time of the Cold War, basically the intention of this wall was to keep one group of people from getting to another place. It was keeping them from, if you will, the promised land, you know, in their terms. And unfortunately, on the bad side of the wall was a really harsh regime. It was a dictatorship that enacted in torture and just all kinds of crazy stuff that was happening there. There was a stretch of that wall that was called the Wall of Death, because they had all these tricks, you know, that as soon as you started crossing the wall, barbed wire, like invisible barbed wire, they really sort of like were just creating ideas and things that would make sure that someone couldn't get across. You know, the enemy does that, right? The enemy's like, yeah, you create, there's this thing in your life created a wall between you and God, and guess what? I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you don't break through this wall. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you don't get on the other side of freedom, because freedom is on the other side. I loved that, you know, freedom on the other side. I mean, that is what was on the other side, is freedom. That is the outcome. That is the outcome of living a life where you're ready to give who you are to the Lord and say, God, you work on this thing in my life. And what comes out of that is freedom. Oh man, you guys aren't excited. I'm excited. Somebody say amen. That is the reality of doing that work, is that you get to live in freedom. Spiritual freedom, mental freedom, sometimes even physical freedom. People that really don't have a life where they're fully and totally devoted to Christ, guess what? Sometimes I look at them, I'm like, you guys are in prison. Like, really, you think that like you're free and kind of doing it? No, that is not the thing. You are actually being enslaved by this thing that you think is bringing you freedom. And so what God is after is for us to be reconciled with Him. He is waiting on the other side of the wall. But guess what? He's not gonna just push you into this. You've got to do it. You've got to do it on your own. You've got to say, I submit to what you have for me, Lord. Here's the flint knife. I'm ready for a true work of change. And I can't tell anybody here what that thing is. You know it. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and telling you exactly what it is. And that it would be the work of freedom in your life. Finally, the third thing that the circumcised heart, the act of circumcising your heart brings, is to be set apart. It's to be distinguished. Joshua asked the people to do this, and the Lord asked the people to do this, I should say, because there needed to be a distinction between them and the Canaanites. That was the way you knew. The way you knew that this was a person that served the Lord, capital H, was because they were a people that were circumcised. And so it was the way you knew that this person served God, and then this person was a pagan worshiper, or sacrificed children, or fill in the blank. It was the distinguishing mark on your life, on the life of your people, that you loved God, that you served the one and only God of Israel. It set them apart. In the same way for us, doing the hard work of digging deep sets you and I apart from from everybody and everything out there. Now, this doesn't mean that you're better than anybody, or that I'm better than anybody, or that this work creates sort of like this incredible self-righteousness in us. And I unfortunately, it's kind of like what Paul dealt with, right? He dealt with, at the time, post-Christ coming, he dealt with the people who thought, hey, if I'm circumcised, I'm somehow much more righteous than you are. I'm somehow much more connected to God than you are if I am and you're not. That's called self-righteousness. That's called me saying, I'm set apart so that I can be better than you. And, you know, I know that like really turns people off, but let me tell you, people still think that way. Have you ever heard anyone say to you, I don't go to church because everybody in there is so messed up? Have you ever been to a gym? Okay, this is what Assam looks like when he's working out. It's pretty perfect. This is what I look like when I'm working out. Yeah, when I go to a gym, how many people have this experience that this is the gym you go to? Okay, does anybody go to a gym? Anybody go to a gym? Okay, this is the gym I go to, okay? I don't know about you, but no one's perfect up in there. No one. People are working out their sanctification in that gym. And that's what we're doing here. We are working it out. We're not, you know, this, that. We're not, I mean, we're just not. I don't know, Pastor John, maybe. That story really stuck with me, Pastor John. I've been thinking about blowing on Assam's neck as he's working out a lot. But that is not what's happening. The reality is that we are working it out. We are set apart because most people don't do that. Most people don't take the time to do the work. They just don't. What they want is this quick fix towards being better. And what God wants from you and from me is that we take the time to dig deeper. Because when you do, it's going to be obvious to other people. They're going to say to you, I promise you this, you will hear this at some point in your life. As a believer, if you are working out your salvation with the Lord, you will hear someone say to you, gosh, there's just something different about you. If you haven't already heard this, it's coming, I'm telling you. If you're working out your salvation, someone will say something's different about you. But if you're not, and you're relying on stage one of circumcision, which is very important, and you should do it if you haven't done it. If you haven't done it, do it today. Do it today. But if you've stopped at stage one and you haven't kind of worked through stage two, the deep work of sanctification, the painful work of sanctification, it's going to be painful. It will happen. You will be so set apart that people will say, there's something just different about you. I don't know about you, but like the reason I think God brought this to my attention is because this was a week for me where he was doing the deep work of sanctification. You know? Sometimes things come up in your life, like major life situations happen, and you react in a certain way, and you're like, who was that? Where did that come from? What was that about? And one of the things we've been discussing in Bible study is going after the scattered enemy, right? That's the enemy in your life that doesn't really like make it super obvious all the time, but every once in a while comes up, and God's saying, go after it. Don't just like let it come and go, goes on its own way. No, no, no. Go after the things that God has in your life. Go after the painful pieces in your life that maybe you just don't want to talk about. Do it today. Because this is the time. What better time could there be? What safer place could there be? So let's just spend some time. I intentionally wanted to finish early today because I think we need some maybe time to just spend a moment. So why doesn't everybody just close your eyes, bow your heads? And just ask God this morning, just in this space right here, in this very safe space, Lord, what work do you want to do in my life? What thing is in my heart, my soul, that needs to be worked out? What's maybe too difficult to deal with? What's maybe too hard to face? Sin or pain from the past, whatever it is, I am giving you that flint knife right now. Point it out. And show me, Lord, who I should ask for help. Because I know this is not a work on my own. Give me to know you deeply today. That I would submit, that I would be reconciled to you, that I would be set apart for your name and for your glory this morning. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to be different this morning. If that's you, just settle your heart before the Lord. But if you haven't even done stage one, like, hey, I don't know about that deep work of sanctification. I'm living in sin. I'm not right with God. There are things in my life that I know for a fact I'm not living fully with the Lord. Then just fall on your face to Him today and just say, Lord, I give you everything. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my past, my present, my future. I give you all of it. I know that you died on the cross for me. And so I submit to you fully, Lord. Just just take those moments as we start in a little bit of worship and just ask God to come right in those spaces in your heart, in your soul, in your mind that need Him this morning.